Talk Radio.
I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercise.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga.
Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around, it's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
DDP.
DDP
Radio.
High five.
Well. Hello, my friends. Hello, my fellow DDPY warriors. It is Wednesday night. It is 9 p.m. where I currently reside here in beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina, on the 377th floor of the DDP Radio Megaplex in beautiful downtown Raleigh. And see, I hired a special technician to wire up the wires extra tight, make them super, super strong. And he bolted that lightning bolt all the way across the great northern sky, all the way to the top of Mount Ontario, where in a hut that leads to a trapdoor, that leads into a dungeon of ass-kicking DDPY warrior stuff going on every single day, is my friend Crystal. The Dungeon Diary is coming soon, and that is why I'm so proud and excited to introduce to you the number one Canadian, as voted by Rolling Stone magazine for the past 10 years straight, the one, the only quintessential quote master herself, Crystal Stewart. How are you?
I'm having a really hard time containing myself. That was a really good intro. Oh, my goodness.
So I'm just going on and on and on. When I first started on the show, it was like Robert, DDP, and me who were on the air most of the time. And Robert is one of those guys that doesn't like people just putting them, like, you know, building them up and stuff like that. He's very shy. And I could hear it the longer I go. He maybe like sighed for like 45 seconds straight without breathing. You could drive him up the wall. So I miss giving my intros to somebody who hates them, but I'll gladly give somebody who deserves them. So there you go, Crystal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh.
I can spin a gear like Robert can, and, you know, make an old home week.
Well, yes, we should definitely grab Robert to sit in soon because, you know, he's one of the OGs here, and as if he doesn't have enough to do, I thought maybe we'd force him to come in the air with us every once in a while and say hello. at least come in and check in with us and say hi. I miss my Bobbert.
Bobbert.
But anyways, before we get started here real quick, I don't know if you're cool with making the announcement and stuff, but I know you're working on a little bit of a blog that you're going to be working on. Is that true? Is that for public consumption? Yes.
Yeah.
Or did I just bury the lead?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really not something that, you know, is a big deal. I didn't think in the beginning. It's kind of taken on a little bit of a life of its own. So, yeah, it's more for me just to stay accountable because, holy moly, life has been crazy, and I have fallen off the wagon. I'll be the first person to admit, so I need to get back, and that's what this is all about.
Well, I mean, it's for you, and it's for, and you're going to be putting it out there publicly, but the greatest, like, blogs and, like, inspirational stuff, it can't be you telling people what to do or you got to do this, you got to do that. It's got to be you doing what you do. And if you're doing it and if you're living that life, people will be inspired by watching and being a fly on the wall. They don't need to be lectured. They need to be inspired, and they need to, inspiration comes from observation. And
yes,
I know that you put your story out there, and you're on Facebook in general, you're a pretty, you know, you get open with people, you open up to your emotions, you open up your heart. And I think that's a pretty cool character, you know, point about you. I'm the opposite way. I guard everything, but I think it's pretty cool that you're able to open up to people and open up your world, because people get saved by that. People get helped by that. And, you know, knowing somebody is living in the trenches with them is inspiring, especially on this journey.
Yeah, it's really not, though. In the beginning, all of this nonsense, I was just so congested, and I needed an outlet, and I write. I enjoy writing a lot. So it just kind of took on a life of its own. And it's really very hard to be that transparent sometimes, but I made a promise to myself once upon a time not to self-edit anything unless it was, you know, really a major downer. But even then, for the most part, you just kind of rip the tape off in one fair yank and, you know, see what happens.
Well, you know, you offer a valuable insight to the world, and we appreciate it far more than my just random fart jokes and memes on the internet. So at least you're producing something of value. So we appreciate it. But before
Thank
we get
you.
Going here, we're already a few minutes into the show, and I got a kind of first things first, DDP Radio on Facebook, which if you guys haven't checked it out, Crystal has really, really, you know, fostered a community over there of people who are engaged, and you're doing an awesome job of keeping that. And I put up a promo video for the show tonight, and I said that you have been a huge you know, addition to things on the air, but also as the booker, the grown up in the room and organizer of the show, because those are three things that I certainly do not bring to the table. I can talk a lot, but you really, really helped out and made some stuff really kind of structured and organized behind the scenes. And I don't know if you were joking the other day, but I hear that you've got, you know, shows booked to, like, I think you've got to, like, the year 2100 or something.
Not quite, but pretty close. No, we are currently booked through October.
I actually hear that we have we have Garrett Sakahara's future second child booked for some time, like in 2040-something.
True.
His future second child. He's got none right now, but by the time he's 20, we got first dibs on the interview. So
true story.
All right. Well, let's get on with the nonsense here. Let's cut the crap. Let's get our serious faces on, or as serious as my face can get. Because we got a seriously inspiring story to bring to you guys again this week. And, you know, podcasting, radio, movies is all telling stories. And like we just talked about with your blog, the best way to inspire people isn't to tell them how to do it or bark at them what to do, or you got to do this. You got to tell stories, and people get inspired and motivated by other people's success. And that's how this DDPY program has stayed alive all this time, is people inspiring people. And what I love about this show is every week we're featuring somebody else to tell a great story. And it's not me calling up my friends and putting people in spots because you know, I'll put here. It's no, we let you guys tell us what's going on. You guys let, you know, people nominate people who are currently inspiring them, and I think that's a pretty awesome aspect of the show. And Crystal being so knee-deep in the community, and she's like the governor, she knows what's going on everywhere, every aspect of the community, and you're reaching out and talking to people, and people are talking to you and telling them, you know, what's inspiring them at the moment, and you got another awesome story for us tonight.
I do.
So I want you to do the intro and bring on our guest tonight and tell our listeners why you chose this woman and why the community championed her.
Okay, so I know Sylvia's husband, Graham, and he continually makes me laugh. But what caught my attention more than anything was that every time I would go on Facebook, I would see Sylvia, and her just putting herself out there and doing the work and you know, just remaining accountable and just not afraid to just, you know, put herself out there for the world to see that, you know, she was actually doing it. And I just thought that that was a really amazing quality to have, because right now that we're all dying to get back to normal, and there is nothing normal that's going on. So she's kind of been a beacon for me, just to see that, you know, life does carry on and you can still strive to reach whatever goal you want to reach. And it's just been really inspiring for me. So I thought if it was inspiring for me, it would be inspiring for everyone else too. So this is my friend, Sylvia Quinn.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi,
Sylvia.
Welcome.
Hey.
How are you? And, you know, we're excited to have you. And obviously a cool nomination to get, you know, approval of your peers and approval of people in the community who are bringing you up as somebody who's just walking the walk. So we like to start every episode with one question and say hello to Superstar Graham for me. But we like to start with one question. Usually there's something that brings there's usually something that brings you to the GDPY community, something that makes you want to take that first initial jump. What was it that made you kind of want to try out GDPY and get on the mat for the first time? What is your origin story?
Well, actually, it was part of my husband's thing. Back in 2015, he went to the doctor, and he had high cholesterol, high, and his weight was, and his doctor got on to him. So he started looking at research about programs and workouts, and he came across the Arthur story, and I was, you know, and he said, it's DDP. I said, are you serious? It's a wrestler, and because he's a big old wrestling fan, and I was, okay, I'll work out with you just to help you out. And by golly, I enjoyed it. That, you know, working out with him, being accountable partners for each other. And sometimes he got mad at me because I would say, you want to work out? And he just rolls his eyes at me. But he got on the mat and we worked out for, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day. And he started dropping. He dropped over almost 100 pounds, and I dropped over maybe 50 pounds, and I started noticing, my coworkers started noticing it, and my customers, I work at a pharmacy, and they noticed it. They go, what are you doing? And I tell them, and they just roll their eyes because they said, yoga. Why yoga? And I said, it works for me. So I guess that's how I got on the mat with the Arthur story with my husband. So
that's awesome.
Well, that's that's so cool, because, you know, obviously Graham having health problems and stuff, you know, there's a lot of spouses who, you know, obviously care about each other and they care about their health and they care about their well-being. But to be undertake that together, you know, especially with him dealing with that and you getting on the mat with him, that's real love right there.
Yeah.
That's willing to kind of get in the trenches with them, and that's pretty inspiring, and it's an awesome thing to do. And I know a lot of couples that do this together, and it really is a game changer. If you're working together, it's the success rate is so much higher. So that's pretty amazing. So, you know, what when you first started doing the DDPY workout, how long before you really started to fall into a groove with the positions, and how long do you fall into a groove with feeling like this is something, all right, we're going to make this a part of our lives?
It was probably about a good month, 6 weeks or something like that, and because I enjoyed it, because I during high school, I was in the band. My senior year, I didn't do nothing, but I loved walking and running, but I never got back into it after I got married and had my kids. But now I do walking and running with my yoga. So it helps my running ability, and so I just get out there and just do it. And I've seen some people down the road while I was walking. You inspired me to come out here and walk, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, what? That's awesome. Just to get out there and walk, and they see me walking. And so I just walk, and then I come in here and do my yoga because my heart rate is so low, I have to get it up somehow. So, but I do that all the time. So I'm so proud of myself when I see people coming, or at least in at work, I look, you know, because, oh, you look so good, you're getting so skinny, and I'm going, I'm not really skinny, y'all. So, but it feels so good to get those compliments that I have proven to myself that I can do it, and I just got to stay with it, or I will go back to where I was, and I don't want to do that.
Right. Sylvia, I have a question for you from someone. What do you do? What do you tell yourself when you don't want to get on the mat? Do you ever have those moments?
I have those moments, and I just look at my kids, and I said, I got to get up to do this, because I lost my mom, such as I was 25 when I lost my mom to cancer, so I won't be there. I want to be there for them because she wasn't there. My son, he's 16, so I was thinking, wow, I only had like 9 more years with me. So, and I want to just be there for him, and then be there when they decide to have grandkids. I want to be there to help them to get through stuff that my mom couldn't help me get through.
Right.
So,
right.
So.
That's a great motivation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, with health issues and you working in a pharmacy, obviously you probably see the gamut of people coming through with everything under the sun, you know, especially when you're doing this for health. There's weight loss and there's health stuff too, but like, you know, a lot of the stuff we're dealt is genetic, and a lot of the health problems that we face are just, you know, they're in our, you know, DNA. They're going to come out at some point. But there's a huge amount of health issues that we personally have almost complete control over, whether we get them or whether we keep them. And I think that when you're talking about your kids and stuff, and, you know, obviously we want to, you know, be around for our kids, but sometimes are we willing to really work that hard enough? If you think of it on the last day of your life and you think, if I got my diet or if I got my health in order, I could be here another 20 years. Usually those thoughts come to you a little too late, but it's pretty amazing to think that you guys are in that headspace where, like, I'm going to do the best I can now to make sure that I'm here for them, because on the last day of your life, you probably would have done anything. And once you're realizing it, so I think it's amazing that you're really kind of keeping that in your head, because it's easy to look down the line at, well, someday things might go bad, but, you know, we have an opportunity right now.
Yes. I'm a pharmacy technician, and I see a lot of people getting pain medicine and cholesterol medicine. And I said, all y'all have to do is get a little motivation, and y'all can be fine. I mean, 20 minutes a day on a mat, stretching your back out, that will help you more than this pain medicine will, but I can't tell them that, because that's
right.
Not my job. So I'm just a little peon, has to abide by the pharmacy laws, and the technicians can't do anything. But if you can just start out just little, even a red heart pour is 15 minutes, that's more than what you're getting just by sitting on the bed or binge watching some TV show all day long. So it just
hurts
me that
stuff. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, like 15 minutes, red hot core and stuff. How much time do we justify wasting? Like, I could come up for an excuse to waste an entire day if I wanted to, but I'll come up with an excuse why, I don't have 15 minutes for this or 15 minutes for that. Yeah. We all have 15 minutes. I don't care what you do. Even if you spread it out, we all have 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm proud. I will tell you to your face. I can't talk today. That they say you can't lie to yourself. That's a lie. I can lie to myself all day. I can come up with a million excuses why I shouldn't do this. But you know, when you think of how minuscule amount of time and effort it takes to do something like that, it makes you feel pretty foolish about your excuses when you're being honest with yourself. We all have a little of time, especially to invest in our health and for our family and for our husband or our wives or our kids. We should have that time, because we all say, well, I'll do anything for my wife. I'll do anything for my kid. Well, prove it. You know, we got time to get healthy and be there for them.
I mean, if you've got time to social media, Facebook for an hour, you got time to do a little workout. Nothing major. It's just maybe 20, 30 minutes, maybe. You don't have to choose the long workout to do. So, as long as you have that time to do it, or set time aside to do that.
So, hey, what do you think the difference is? Like, you have to have a mind shift at some point that, you know, because at times, sitting on Facebook for 30 minutes sure beats getting on a mat for 30 minutes. I mean, there's that mentality that you need to switch. So what is it for you? I mean, it's hard.
I know. It's my mindset that if I don't get on the mat, I feel miserable if I don't get on that. I just finished working out before I got on the radio over here. So I've been bench watching Dexter all day, and I said, I need to get up and do something. So I got up and did it after one episode left, and then I ate supper and then got on the radio. It's just, I mean, I had to do it or my back will be like freezing up on me. I can't do that. When I lay too long in bed, my back starts hurting, and I can tell when I need to get up and move around. So my body's always in motion. So
pain's a great motivator.
Uh-huh.
So when you started the workout and you started, you know, having success with it, obviously there's going to be physical change, flexibility. Did you notice anything mentally, your mindset, your positivity, your energy level? Besides the physical part, did you notice changes in your life that weren't necessarily weight loss or flexibility?
Probably it's the more energy that I've got, because my kids were a little bit younger now, young back then, because they were little. They were running around the house, and we got up and they started walking with me, so I had the energy to walk with them and play with them. My son did baseball and basketball, so I had a little skinny kid showing me up on the basketball goal over here at home, and I'm just saying, I can't do this. But when I lost, you know, that weight, I got out there and did it with them, and so I love being a part of their lives. That way they can help, you know, help me, and so that's what keeps me motivated, is those, my two kids. Even though my daughter is totally opposite of her brother, she's not athletic at all, but she keeps her mind open. She's weird, so I had to take the weird child with the extremely smart kid, but I would take that over any day of any time. But my kids, this is what I do. This is what I do it for, because I want to be around, and I want to eat. I had to eat right, too, because I know breast cancer runs in my family, so I want to make sure I'm here for them. So I had to start eating. I was eating right. So hopefully that will help minimize my chances of getting the cancer, breast cancer, so with my kids. So I don't want to put them through what I had to go through my senior year of high school. I don't want that to happen to them.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's an awesome reasoning, but I also got to say, I love that you went from not being able to catch up to mom dunking on the kids. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, we always battle health problems, you know, when we get diagnosed with something and we fight it. And I think that we don't give enough credence to the fact that we have time to fight the problems that aren't here yet. You know, with cancers and with diabetes and stuff, you know, you talked about it, you know, you're trying to prevent what is in your family history. We all pretty much know at least some of our family history, and we know that, you know, genetically and DNA and stuff is eventually we're looking at, you know, battling the same problems probably or possibly. And the preventative aspects of these things are, you know, they're possible to sidestep some of these things if we just treat ourselves right. You know, I'm a procrastinator by heart, so one of my biggest problems is I don't solve a problem until it's literally, you know, I'm flowing down the river trying to keep my head above it. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we have so much power over our lives and our health if we just choose to embrace it and accept it. I said that earlier, but it's always, you know, they always say time and health is the one thing you take for granted until it's too late. And it's so true. And I think that's pretty amazing how forward thinking you're being with all of this. And, you know, you may not have the problems to fight today, but it's worth it to put in the effort now so you can walk your kids down the aisle, so you can be there for the grandkids and for Graham and for, you know, it's what we should be doing, all of us, and we don't do enough of it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, that there is a huge difference between sitting in the corner of a cage, kind of, you know, stressing about, oh my God, I'm stuck in a cage, but really you haven't gotten up to see if the door is locked. So, you know, you just got to, I don't know how many times somebody said to me, you can't do that because of the situation I'm in. Well, that is just motivation for me to get up and do it anyway. So, you know?
So, and I was diagnosed with a hypothyroid. I have thyroid issues, so, and the yoga helps because it's low impact, and I read that yoga helps the thyroid, so that helps me just a little bit more to get motivated on that mat instead of doing my hitting the pavement and destroying my joints that the thyroid keeps on destroying. The thyroid messes with so much of your body, and people started asking me when I was losing all that weight, was I sick? And I said, no, that I know of. So, but then I went to my doctor and she did some blood work and she goes, she called me back the next couple of days. She goes, you're tired, aren't you? I said, yeah. She goes, you got your thyroid all jacked up. I said, oh, great. Wonderful. So here I go again with another problem that I can't solve, but my thyroid's in check. My levels are good. So I am, and I just got to stay away from all the bad stuff or it will affect my, I had to stay almost gluten-free to stay away to help my levels go back down to where they're supposed to be. So I'm fine with that.
I was going to say, so food will become a huge part of your life, or food awareness, I should say, more than anything, right? Because, wow, your thyroid can be subjected to all kinds of things. So food is increasingly important. So,
So, and here lately I've been eating that tilapia and that cauliflower rice and I can't tell the difference.
No,
I can't. And my husband, we cook with turkey meat instead of ground meat because, and my kids can't tell the difference. But when we go to a regular restaurant and order a hamburger, they can tell the difference between their hamburger and the turkey burgers that we make at home. But they still eat it. So, I mean, they eat what we eat most of the time, except for my daughter, Danica. She's the pickiest eater ever. She won't try spaghetti. She won't eat spaghetti. She won't do that. Even the gluten-free, no, Mama, I don't want that. She'll eat macaroni and cheese. Okay, that's fine. You're eating spinach. Dylan would just eat anything that you put in front of him. Human garbage disposal. He's 16 years old and he's, I don't know, he's shot up shot up so much last year. He had his freshman year before he went to high school. He shot up so much. He didn't do any physical activity during the eighth grade and ninth grade year. He got shin splints at the beginning of the year, and so he couldn't do his basketball for that year. And he was so agitated with that. But then he did his sophomore year. So the doctor said it's good. He had it. It was weird because he had both the front and the back shin splints. So, but he healed just fine and took the time and got it all healed up. So we're good on that for now. So, and he's taller than me. Now he's taller than me. He's 5'8" and only weighs 130 pounds. I said, "Where'd you get that from? Because you didn't get that from me or your daddy." but he likes to move. He's always moving. So
that's good,
helps
though.
Him, I guess. Mhm. So.
It's funny how different siblings can be too. I mean, you described both those guys as, you know, two different people and two different styles and personalities.
Yeah.
But a lot of that stuff is genetic too. So he, you know, Dylan might be falling down a whole different rabbit hole someday than your daughter. You know, it's hard in that situation because I grew up in a family where my brother, was as thin as a rail, and he could eat 14 cheeseburgers from McDonald's and not gain an ounce. And meanwhile, I smelled it and gained 10 pounds. It's a different set of challenges. We're going up, next week we're off here at GDP Radio. I'm going to be going up to my brother's wedding, which was postponed from June. And, you know, when I see him in person, I see him eating something that I know that I could walk by that meal and gain 10 pounds, I get physically angry at him. But it's funny how different it can be person to person, the different set of challenges.
Yeah, because right now both my kids weigh about the same. He's 16, she's 12, and they weigh about the same. She slendered up a little bit during the summertime. So she started walking a mile or two a day down our county road, and that's what she did. And I let her do it. And she was aware of her surroundings. She made sure Dylan knew where she was going, and he was fine with that. I said, "Okay, as long as you take your phone with you, you're good, okay?" She said, "Okay, Mama." So she went, and I let her do it. Graham got mad at me because I said, "Yeah."
It's, you know, it's going to be terrifying to let your kids nowadays just kind of like go off on your own. But it's something that if they're going to, you know, it's something that has to happen if you're like, you know, a parent. You got to let them kind of feel their way around a little bit of independence, which I don't even know how to navigate that nowadays. That's terrifying. When I was a kid, the old cliche, we'd, you know, walk downtown or walk, you know, 3 miles into the woods, and our parents would be like, you know, "Come back when you can't see the person in front of you." But now it's just so hard to navigate that stuff, and it's a scary world. So you want to be able to give them the chance to go off and be independent and do stuff and, you know, walk and get healthy. So I get where Graham's coming from. It's a little bit terrifying, but it's something that's necessary.
Yeah. And right now my son is driving, and Graham is so scared of him just going off by himself after he gets his driver's license and having a wreck, and Mom and Daddy are not there with him. I think you're just going to have to trust him. He's very self-aware of his surroundings. So I feel very confident in my son. So, but other than that, I mean, he almost scared me going to Tyler, but that wouldn't have been his fault because the truck was trying to merge in his lane that didn't have time to merge in our lane. So, but that's the only time my son has really scared me driving. And that was his first time driving to Tyler. So that's one of the bigger cities around here that my husband goes, "You let him drive in Tyler?" I said, "Yeah, it's fun. Okay, he's awesome."
Well, the thing is, there was probably a time where a 16-year-old Graham was going out to start driving, and one of his parents was like, "You're going to let him drive?"
Right,
you know, it's the circle of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I love it. That's funny. But no, I mean, I don't have kids yet. Now, Katie and I want to have them, start having them soon. But it's terrifying because I'm just going to be one of those dads that's like, it's going to scare the crap out of me to let them do things. I'm nervous. If Katie's 15 minutes late, I'm like, oh my God, she's dead. I got to call her. And you know, I'm just one of those people. I'm a worrisome person. So I'm already getting stressed, and we didn't even have a she's not even pregnant or anything yet. So
I reserve the right to laugh my head off when this all goes down because you're going to be a wreck.
Yeah, you're telling me. See, you know, Katie, like, if it ever comes time she gives birth, I remember one time years ago, it was the only emergency she's ever had since we've been together. She woke up and her back was in agony. She did something to her back, and she was in tears, and she couldn't stand up, and I was freaking out. And I'm like, we're going to get you to the hospital. And I'm running around, packing a bag. I'm throwing stuff in. She's like, what are you doing? Like, I was freaking out. She's like, you're going to be the kind of person that freaks out when I get pregnant, and you're going to drive to the hospital only to realize you didn't put me in the car. Because I just am no good in those situations. I forgot something.
Sylvia.
I forgot. Oh, shoot.
You forgot,
right?
You forgot the part person.
Yeah, Sylvia and I are going to be laughing about this later, let me tell you.
I've been
asking a question of, you know, the last few guests that we've had, and I'm really curious about your answer. What would you say to the Sylvia of 5 years ago versus the Sylvia now?
I haven't really thought about that. I don't know what I would say to myself 5 years ago that I would be, you know, the shape that I am in versus the shape I was there. I would say you need to get on the mat, get healthy for your kids. That way they'll have somebody there with you when they grow up and they need mama or grandma and grandpa. I want them to be there. Graham lost his dad at such a young age that his mom raised him. And we just lost his mom in October of this year. Almost a year ago that she took her last breath. But she raised him from the time he was 10 until the time I took over because, you know, men never grow up. So
True.
What? So I just basically raised another kid, and I was younger than him. I was 18, and I married a 23-year-old Graham. So I just had to take my battles and just grow up, just because my mom raised me to, you know, because I helped her with her stuff. With, you know, she made me grow up faster than what I thought I needed to grow up, because she made me, like, balance a checkbook, you know, help her with the groceries, bill. When I started working, I helped her with the groceries. I helped her. I paid my car insurance. I paid my car bill. And that helped me grow up so fast that I didn't even realize that. And then we got married. He never balanced a checkbook before. He just thought he just had money, and he'd be okay. He just looked at the statement and said, oh, I got money, so he throws it down. I said, no, you need to balance that. He goes, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. And your mom is a bookkeeper. So I had to raise him, and he was good. He still has his moments. and I roll my eyes every time I hear a stupid story of his. So.
I think that's the universal, like, husbands, like, I think that's, like, you know, there's very, I think that's just across the board just how we are, because every single one of those, you know, things, you know, when Katie came into my life and she brought structure, and suddenly all my cool, like, movie posters came down, and I had to slowly become a functioning adult. If there's a moment in every guy's life where some woman comes in and just cleans him up and just dusts him off, and it's like, what are you doing with yourself? Put on a clean shirt.
Yeah, he used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to wear these Hawaiian shirts, and I made him get rid of them because I didn't like them. So I said, you don't get rid of that.
And then we'll feel that we're in charge, and we're like, well, I'm going to put my foot down on this one. I'm going to make sure that I'm standing my ground. I'm not going to let her throw away any more of my shirts. And then I realize that suddenly, where'd that shirt go? I swear it was here. One by one, they all start disappearing.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're always better for it, you know? We, like, as you said, men are just children. And if Crystal wasn't on this show right now, I'd probably be just singing Meatloaf and calling Josh McAdoo an idiot and making offensive jokes towards Garrett, and we get nothing accomplished. So we need you people in our lives to make things function properly.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, I'm a big dumb animal, folks. But no, it's a good point. And it's a good thing too, because I'm sure some of his personality rubs off on you, and I'm sure some of your personality rubs off on him, and you're both better people for it. And that's how growth happens. That's how we change.
Yep.
And that's how we adapt. And that's what it's all about. Yeah. I mean, it says right there, the DDPY, adapt, you know, react, adapt, breathe, and take action. We can't just be the same people forever. That stagnates us. That's a lack of growth. And the people who we attach ourselves to and surround ourselves with ultimately, you know, shapes us. And it seems like you've been an amazing, positive part of his life, as I'm sure he has in some ways yours. And you know, doing this DDPY thing together, I think, is a huge thing, because what better way to, you know, prove your love for somebody than to help them get healthy and get them better off. And, you know, that's a powerful thing. And it's something that if you're a couple and can do that together, I think that's a really great bonding experience. I think it's a really great just life experience to experience together. It's an effort that you owe each other when you're married.
Yeah. Tells me that all his gray hair is good for me and the kids, but no, I don't think he, no, mm-mm. He causes me some gray hairs too, so, but you can't tell it on me because I'm blonde hair, but you can tell his goatee is all gray, almost all gray now, so it's all good.
Fresh highlight.
Silver fox.
Yep. Fresh highlight.
Yep.
Well, you know, we got a little bit more time here to go, but I do want to, you know, check in with you real quick and ask. So you've gotten this, you know, all the success under your belt. You know, you're doing really well. You know, you're doing the DDPY. Mm-hmm. You're eating healthy. Is there anything you'd like to kind of see yourself based around DDPY, either a goal or an outcome or something you want to ink and, you know, make happen? Is there anything in your future that you think you want to attempt or achieve or whatever it may be? Through either as a result of DDPY or with DDPY?
Yeah, well, I signed up back in 2019 to be a level one instructor, and all I have left is to do some teaching, some more teaching. I want to maybe do one or two classes somewhere a week at a local gym just to introduce it to people, and then hopefully, you know, I will have. Then I can kind of step away from being a pharmacy technician and help them in another perspective. Instead of giving them medicine, I can help them get a better feel on their health and their back pain and stuff.
Awesome.
I want to do that. So I'm crossing my fingers and so. But
I think that's amazing.
I can't do nothing with them. I can't do nothing. Except for online, me and my niece, my oldest niece, she wants to help me do my yoga, help me teach her some yoga, teach her yoga class, and she'll do it with me. She's a senior this year, so she has other things on her mind right now, and she's a head twirler at Lindo High School, so I'm just happy, I'm so grateful that she got, you know, where she is, you know, with her her dermatologist, how I'm proud of her just the way she's handled herself and through all this COVID stuff. They can't do many home games. They only can do their home games, and that's four. So she's really disappointed, but she's trying to keep her head high. But it's very hard your senior year, and you only got four home games to tour all at.
That's, yep.
I mean, so, but hopefully it'll get better. And so my son's right behind her. He's a junior. So hopefully by the time he gets there, I know it won't go completely away, but it will go somewhat away, hopefully. But I never think that we're not going to get rid of wearing masks. I wear a mask 8 hours a day. I don't like doing that. So,
yeah,
I got to do what I got to do. You know, going to have breathing problems later down the road because I'm wearing a mask 8 hours a day and breathing my own oxygen 8 hours a day. So.
Yeah, it's tough, but you know, when this is all said and done too, I think we're all going to be stronger, and you know, we all have our own individual problems, but we went through this problem together. The whole world went through it, so it's almost like a shared experience, you know, and we're going to get through it. We're going to get on the other side of this, and hopefully we'll all be better people, and hopefully we'll appreciate people more, because I feel like in the past couple of years we've gotten really ugly with each other, and I think on the other end of this, I think we're going to interact better with each other, and I hope that we're going to appreciate, you know, I didn't realize how much I depend on human interaction, honestly. I didn't really fully appreciate that, so I know I'm looking forward to going out and yapping with some people in the real world again soon, but... Well, that being said, go ahead, Crystal, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I really miss contact, like just hugging somebody. Like, you know, you see a friend and you go hug them and you can't do that now. I mean, not even really. So.
It's a different way. You know, I was, when I went up for my dad's funeral in December, I was just telling Katie, we're about to head out to my brother's wedding in September, and it's been 9 months. And I'm like, the last time we went up there, it was like a different world. Like, we were in a different planet than it is right now. It's been so different, and things change so quickly, and we've just adapted to this new normal and stuff. But I think that I do think there's some, you know, at first, people were trying to put on concerts and Zoom meetings and all this stuff. I'm like, why are we putting all this effort? It just seems like a lot of effort just to go through the motions. But now I really appreciate the effort put in. People really went out of their way to go our route to keep some kind of normalcy, to put on a show, even if it's not the ideal circumstances. People got creative in the way they delivered, you know, entertainment or music or comedy or what classes, DDPY classes or content. And I think there's something beautiful about that, because it may not be the same, but we really all kind of just came together and tried to bring some familiarity back into our lives through these things. And I think that's a pretty special thing. And honestly, I kind of thought it was a lot of effort for nothing at first, but now I think it's one of the only things that's really pulled us through. So it's something special about that. And there's something special about the community here. And how everyone reacted. We got people doing online classes. There's people doing, you know, just check-ins with each other via Zoom and just the DDPY show. People are listening to this and really, you know, getting a lot from it. And I think it's pretty beautiful that we are all kind of isolated during this time. But in a DDPY community, being so, we're global in our reach, we weren't isolated. We had people we can lean on. And I think that is a big deal, and I think that's a huge help during these really uncertain, difficult times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I stepped down from my soapbox.
Yeah, there you go.
In case you were wondering, I was going for the Guinness Book of World Records of run-on sentences right there.
There you go. You know, but it's really funny how much, I mean, we've gone from a world that would voice, you know, our complaints or our issues or bitch and complain, but now we're seeing all of the people that we have been isolated from they're stepping up, just like you said, with Zoom calls and meetings and, you know, online workouts. And, you know, we are finding a way to stay connected despite feeling disconnected at times. And that's been an amazing thing.
I know, I 100% agree. And if you thought that, you know, a little COVID-19 is going to keep me from yammering in your ear every Wednesday night, Crystal, you got another thing coming.
Right?
Yeah, you're gonna have to do a lot more than have a global pandemic to lose me.
Good to know.
But anyways, well, we really appreciate you coming on with us tonight. We really appreciate you, chatting with us and telling your story and kind of bouncing some ideas around. And it's always cool to talk to people and talk to different people from different parts of the world. And it truly is a global affair. And we loved having you on. And like I said to Crystal, we're going to have to get Graham on sometime soon. Give the rebuttal. You know, he got buried a little bit over here, you know. The gray hair, the man child. I think we need equal timing and equal opportunity to kind of rebut the situation. But we appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me on. So I really appreciate it.
Oh,
you're so
No, it was
welcome.
A lot of fun. And make sure we have to come back and have an update sometime down the line and see how things are going. And good luck to you and your family through all of this, and appreciate you being such a vital part of the community and, you know, being a sounding board for so many people in this community. I think it's a huge help, and I love that we're able to do that every week and just kind of present you guys a story. And I think a lot of people take a lot of things from a lot of different people, and that's what we do. People inspiring people. That's how this thing keeps moving forward. So thank you so much.
No problem.
And, we usually end the week with a quote from the Canadian Quote Master herself. And that quote is supposed to fuel those engine tanks of inspiration so we can get us through the next week. But this week, we're going to need an extra good one because we're off next week and I'm going to be traveling and I'm going to need some motivation. So, Crystal, you got to dig deep on that dungeon wall and pull out a good one for us.
I got a good one. You're going to like it. And it's going to last you for, you know, this week and next. So something to think about. Failure does not matter. If you persist in anything, you will win.
You're the best. Do it. Yeah, sure. I love it. No, that's perfect. I love it. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're all trying to do. Just keep persisting, keep winning. One day at a time, we'll make it through this. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you, Graham, for being our crash test dummy over there. And thank you, Crystal.
Thank you.
For the awesome, you know, the work you bring here every night. We're off next week. My baby brother's getting married. Good God.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in a couple weeks with a brand new episode of DDP Radio Live at ddpradio.com. Until then, thank you guys so much. From Texas, from Canada, from Raleigh, North Carolina, we're out. We'll see you guys soon.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work and, most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.
No Grams were harmed in this episode.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.